Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio. This is Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss, and we do have breaking news for you today. Some very exciting news that's coming out of the Institute for Supply Management. Lou, this report looks so good, you and I were both taken aback.
I even lost a bet. I didn't want to tell Tony that yet. But the numbers are great. Numbers, especially for a January.
Yeah, it's the January that's usually not great, and the polar vortex probably didn't have an impact. But let's check with Tim Fiore, who's the committee chair for the Manufacturing Business Survey Committee that issues the manufacturing report on business. And by the way, always a shout-out to Christina Cahill, who's involved in helping put that together. Tim, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Yeah, hi, Lou. Hi, Tim. Yep, you're exactly right. 56.6, top-line number. Expanded 2.3 points, about 10% in the range compared to December. You know, pretty good month, but a lot, as usual, a lot underneath all this. That's why the three of us are on the phone to talk about it, right?
Right.
Yeah, let's unpack.
So let's talk a little bit about demand, and let me kind of summarize. It looks like the tech sector was a big contributor to this expansion. It is our number one industry sector again. And it's also our number one contributor to the PMI expansion for the month of January. And it didn't have a very good month in December. But, you know, on the demand side, we had new orders at 58, up almost 7 points, a really good rebound. The last time we had such a large decline in new orders and a rebound, I think the number was about 5 points up or 4.6. This is 7 points up, so that's really good. But, you know, on the demand side, I look at it from the new orders, customer inventory, and the backlog piece. Customer inventories grew slightly, 1.1, which is a negative, I think, for the out months. And backlog ended up at 50.3 points, which is, you know, very, very, very weakly expanding, which I think is a negative for the out months either. So the good thing is the new order number was up. That's a contributor to the PMI, and it drove the PMI up, you know, to the level that it got to, primary contributor. But, you know, the out months are a little bit uncertain.
I think, an interesting question that I really never quite looked at before. If, in fact, the new orders have gone up by 56.9, how come the backlog orders don't go up? At what point does a new order become a backlog?
Well, you know, we have 18 industry sectors, so in some cases a new order results in a production shipment the next day. In others, it could be 8 to 12 weeks out or even longer, right? So
right.
The only way you can really look at this thing is almost like an immediate consumption. But, you know, the way I analyze this is a new order comes in, production provides an output. If they can't provide the output during the month, then it shows up in backlog. So, you know, I see it as kind of like maybe there's a month carryover and stuff or overlap, but I kind of look at it as new order in, production output out, and if it didn't go out on production, it ends up as backlog.
Got it. Because it is an outstanding differential.
Yeah. Now, if a lot more new orders come in with long lead time industry sectors, then, you know, you'd think that backlog would stay up, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I kind of look at it as a relatively short supply chain. So on the consumption side, production and employment, I mean, we improved plus 5.9 points. So primarily that was around production. Employment actually softened slightly, but the production number was the strongest since September of 18. So back on that, that Q3, Q4, early Q4 activity was a pretty strong period. So consumption did pretty well. It contributed to the PMI expansion to almost on the same order of level that the new order number did too. So that was a good month for output.
Right.
So Tim,
the bigger story I think is the input story. go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You've got the real story.
All right, so let's talk about the input side. So input, supplier deliveries, and raw material. Supplier deliveries, suppliers continue to improve their delivery performance. There's been steady improvements here on suppliers being able to respond to demand, at least 4 months worth of improvements. And what that means is that your supplier delivery number actually degrades. So as they deliver faster, your supplier delivery index actually declines. So although we're still expanding at a 56.2, back in October, we were at 63.2. So that's a 10-point decline. Actually, it's a 7-point decline in the space of 3 or 4 months, which means that they've either brought on new capacity or their order book is thinning. So I think that's an indicator for the future. And then you would expect the raw material inventory number to work in reverse of the supplier delivery number, and in fact it is. The inventory expansion was about 1.6 points. So we grew inventories, and we're not growing to a relatively high level. I think if you saw an inventory number above 55, 56, it would be a little bit concerning. But we did get up to 52.8, and we had the same level back in November, but last month it was 51.2. So I'm keeping a close eye on that inventory number. The two of those combined was a negative 1.2 points to the PMI. So positive new order entry, positive production output, negative supplier delivery inventory numbers, coupled with the fact that prices contracted for the first time this month. And since February 2016, we actually had price contraction, which we'll talk a little bit more about. And then on the demand side, exports recorded their lowest expansion level since February of 2016. So lots of stuff here to kind of chew on.
No doubt, and I just want to remind our listeners that this report is available at the Institute for Supply Management.org website under News and Research Reports. But, Tim, what are your respondents saying? I always find those comments in the report fascinating.
Yeah, you'll see that it's a mixed bag, and it reflects the general comments coming out of all the 18 industry sectors. Some companies are saying things are good, some companies are saying things are not as good. And I think that's pretty representative of where we are right now. It's a mixed bag, even within some of the industry sectors. You could have aircraft manufacturing doing really well, and you could have automotive manufacturing not doing as well. So, even within the industry sectors, you might get a different perspective. But what I can say is that, last month, we had almost a 50-50 split between positive and not so positive sentiment. And the month before that, we had a definite predominant positive sentiment. This month, we're 2-1. So twice as many people were positive as were not as positive about the future, which I think it's a conversion. It's better. I mean, it's immediate. So things are, I think we're doing okay, but there's some fundamentals in the supply chain here that might be giving us a story for what Q2 could look like.
Well, let me throw a monkey wrench in this a happy fest that we're having here. As you know, my company where I earn my combat pay, All Metals and Forge, we have not quite seen the same glorious numbers in new orders and so on this past month. And frankly, our sales associates and so on have been talking to our manufacturing companies around the country and saying, where's that our regular order, the repeats? We're holding back. We're not sure what's happening. And we're getting a fair amount of uncertainty in terms of what's the future holding with regards to tariff, what's happening with, is the government going to shut down again in a couple of weeks? And so everybody's telling us we're holding off. No one wants to sign the order. And that's been a concern of ours for the last 2-3 weeks. So I don't know if you've run across that yourself.
Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned that as we closed last month. So,
yeah,
I mean, Europe
yeah,
is going to expand at less than 2%, right? I mean, there's no doubt.
Right.
They're saying 1.7, 1.8. It's the slowest expansion cycle China has seen in, I don't know, 12 or 15 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Our export markets are down. I think you support not only capital goods, but also, you know, consumption material, raw material for consumable kind of goods too. So you're affected by a number
right.
of different areas.
Right.
You know,
right.
And if you look, our fabricated metal products area, which is related to where you are, expanded at the PMI level for the first time in a couple of months. But it did not expand. It expanded in the new order side too, but it did not expand on the employment side. So it's been the fabricated metal products, which is our number six industry sector now, is very fluid and it's directly affected by the steel tariffs. One of the positive things or negative things, depending on your perspective, is that spot steel price, hot rolled coil, is at 680, and the normal price for spot steel is around 640. So even in spite of the tariffs on inbound imported steel, we're now getting back to a much more normal level, which would lead you to believe that, well, there's probably more capacity coming on in the United States. It's probably starting to find its way in. Or, the demand for steel is starting to moderate a bit. And I think the lead times are shrinking a bit, too, like we talked about earlier, and that you might be seeing some of that. And then the last thing is that business hates uncertainty, and we're just loaded. I mean, U.S. of uncertainty, right?
That's right. That's right.
Right now we're kind of sitting in a very uncertain position. And if you had the option to not have to make a decision, you'd do it.
That's correct. That is correct. Matter of fact, we ourselves signed a rather large digital contract last night, and we've been dragging our heels on it for the last 2-3 weeks, and finally we said, what the hey? So we went with it 8 o'clock last night. But there's much uncertainty about it. So we just have to play it out and see how it goes. But the customers that we're dealing with, that we're talking with them, that's what I go by. Somebody says, well, you're going to get the order in 2-3 weeks, and you start hearing that a lot. That's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Lou, make sure you continue to do your part, okay? Don't contribute to the negative number in the PMI.
I got you. And to lose money on it. I lost my bet. I don't want to tell you what my number was that I selected.
Oh, for the PMI, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was at 53 and change. I was not feeling very confident.
Yeah, well, the forecast consensus was 54.4, I guess.
Well, so I was right on the mark.
Yeah, you were close. Yeah, you were closest to the pin.
Well, they came out this morning with the employment figure. It was a surprising 304,000.
Oh, that is surprising, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge number.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah, especially when it followed up on the initial jobless claims that were up to the 1.5-year high following a week where it was a 40-year low. I mean, there's just so much dithering going on. And the unemployment numbers were probably impacted by the the shutdown to some extent, would be my guess.
Sure,
but.
Sure.
Tim, does this hedging show up anywhere in capital expenditures in your report?
I just notionally, I've got to think that, well, the capital expenditure stuff is, rolling stock is CapEx, right? Transportation sector is continuing to expand. Machinery has a lot of CapEx elements in it, not only stuff that moves, but, equipment that's made to make other things. And machinery is now our number seven industry sector. It's fallen off because petroleum and coal products has taken the number five spot. But machinery did okay. I keep an eye on it because I worked in it. The machinery did okay, too, last month. So, and if you look at our lead times on CapEx rebounded again. I think we added 6 days to the lead time. It keeps kind of going back and forth, unfortunately. But we're at a relatively high level still. So, You know, I think I don't think we've actually. I think we're going to, you know, hang around the 54.5 to 57 level now. Hopefully through the end of the year. You know, that's a good expansion growth profile. I mean, the Fed and the CBO have both come out with a prediction of 2.3% GDP expansion for 2019. You know, following a 3.1% expansion for 2018. So that's almost that's almost a 50% decrease in expansion rate, and it just kind of sounds right. I mean, we were running 58 to 60.5, right? So
right.
We get to the 54, 55. That's pretty good.
You have to excuse me. I just had to get off the horn here for a moment. I had to get my bed in based on Tony's numbers there of 54 to 56.7. Is that what your number was, Tony?
Yeah, 56.5.
Yeah, you're in for a piece.
Yeah.
You're in for a piece.
I don't see us going below above 57 at this point. I mean, there would have to be a significant event that would do that, right? The significant event would have to be either something that impacts the supply chain, which would drive up supplier deliveries, like we saw in the hurricane several years ago. That had a serious impact on supplier deliveries. Or we had an excessive amount of inventory that started to show up because we had a collapse on the production side, which would probably be an offset. So I just don't see us going above 57 at this point, but that's not a bad thing either. I mean, it's consistent with where we think we'll be. If we can get rid of these tariff issues, provide some stability here to the economic community, I think we still have a ways to run.
56, 57 is good as long as we get rid of these tariffs that either knowingly or unknowingly causing certain problems within the manufacturing sector. I think it's costing jobs, and it just needs to be reconciled with some intellect, which I don't feel as though that is being properly looked at and properly negotiated. So
aluminum prices have dropped, steel prices have dropped, so they're no longer, tariffs are no longer impacting the economics in those markets, right? And those are fundamental elements of material that we need to build most of the stuff that we build and ship. And economically, it's a 10% growth from normal, which is not a big deal. I mean, we've seen that. Companies can support that. So the bigger issue now is the tariffs on the $200 to $250 billion of Chinese input stuff that is sitting there at 10% and possibly going to 25%. I mean, that's the one that I think needs to be addressed, and we'll see if they come up with a solution that can at least get us not go beyond the 10 points that we're paying now.
Right, right. We seemingly can live with the 10 points. 25 is going to make for a problem.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, there's some companies that are suffering severely by it, right? The ones that are extremely competitive that don't have high gross margins, or you can see stories in the news about some companies are really suffering from this, and it's really too bad. But a lot of this stuff is addressed at the electronics market, and the electronics market is doing pretty good. Like I said, it was our number one expansion industry for the month of January. It rebounded from December. In December, it still was pretty good, but not number one. And a lot of their input costs come from China: printed circuit boards, printed circuit board assemblies, active components, passive components, integrated circuits. A lot of that stuff comes from China.
And there's quite a few companies that are in the Midwest area that have packed up and moved to Mexico, where there is no tariff on Chinese imports.
Yeah.
So there's that to contend with. So in some regards, we are losing companies and we're losing jobs. I just hope that this gets resolved in a timely manner so that we don't have to say, see, I told you, look what this did to us.
Well, that doesn't do anybody any good, right?
That's right. That's
right.
Right.
So, Tim, in the overall, was there anything in this report that was kind of a surprise to you? You know, Lou and I were betting a softer upward number, like in the 52.3 range. comes in at 56.6. Any surprise to you?
Well, yeah, I'm concerned about. Also, we'll talk a bit about imports. So imports, you know, we improved 1.1 points, but most of the comments were related around meeting the March 1st tariffs and staging material into the U.S. before the Lunar New Year, which starts next week. So I don't know. I mean, you know, next month I would be surprised if the import number. Well, we'll probably still see a decent expansion. Probably at around the same level, but you know, the month of March we probably won't see much at all because Lunar New Year is over, and no need to beat the tariff because the tariff already went into place, and you know, maybe you'd even see a relaxation because you've got too much inventory in the U.S. So I'm concerned about the import number. Exports is really disturbing because that's one of the primary elements of growth, and lowest level again since February 2016, which is really concerning. We've had a period now since midsummer, early fall, where exports have declined. And although neither one of those numbers go into the PMI, you know, they're very important to the overall health of the economy. And you know, you got to think if exports stayed up, then you know, maybe the new order level would stay up with it. There's definitely a softening on the transportation side, which all goes back to the issue around what's going on in the supply chain. Suppliers are delivering faster. Raw material inventory is going up slightly. Prices are now contracting for the first time in many years. It's easier to get transportation. I mean, what is supplier lead times, although they're still extending, they don't seem to be as much of a burning issue as they have been for the last 4 or 5 months. What does all of it mean? Does it mean that we've expanded capacity and we're able to keep up? Well, you'd think that the employment number would spike up a lot more than it is if that's the case. Or is it really a relaxation of demand that's allowing companies now to get more precise with their delivery, or some combination of both? You know, it's probably a combination of both, really. You got new stuff coming online that was invested a year and a half ago, and you've got a little bit of a weakening here.
And one thing that we could also do to help our exports is, you know, finalize what the heck we're doing with XM Bank. Let's get them fully up to speed and, you know, do what they're supposed to do to increase exports. Meanwhile, you know, they still don't have a quorum.
Oh, yeah, I thought there was some movement on that several months back, but they never got it done.
No, they never got it. There was something in the news yesterday about it. I haven't gotten caught up. I'm still on last Sunday night. but there is something going on there.
Tim, we've talked in the past about the cycle time that you have seen over the years and where we are in terms of that cycle. And your comments earlier in the show were that we seem to look at 2019 as operating above 50 throughout the year. Where does that put us in terms of the long cycle?
Well, you know, I don't think we're going to expand much more than what I mentioned, you know, 57. 57 would probably be the high end. So we're probably starting to make our way down, you know, which... And the yield curve is still not inverted, which is good, although they're running fairly parallel. Some of them are. I think, you know, generally people are feeling that 2019 will be a good year consistent with 2018, maybe not expanding as fast in the first half and maybe the second half being a little bit slower. There's some interesting other things that come out of the report. So, we get comments on the supplier delivery side. And for listeners, these are pretty interesting. So, I've been keeping track of the shortage comments. You know, parts are short, can't get the stuff. In December, 31% of the comments in the supplier delivery section were around shortage problems. In January, 16, you know, which says, okay, it's not as much of a problem. And then lead time, I've been tracking the lead time comments too. And in 18% of the lead time, 31% of the November comments were lead time related. 18% in December, 12% in January. So, you know, that kind of tells me that things are kind of, you know, slowing down a little bit. Or, like I said, it's a combination of slowing down a little bit coupled with the fact that more capacity's come online.
Interesting.
it's I'm going to stick with my old guns here. January, as I have looked at the ISM report for about 40 years, January is always not wonderful. But February is usually sunny skies, and I'm now in February 1, and I got 27 more days to enjoy the sun.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're right. I mean, you would expect that February production number would be stronger, right?
Right.
And you'd expect that you'd think that January's new order number would be stronger, maybe.
Right.
Because the order activity starts in January. Production activity in January, you're right, Lou. I mean, the first week is a lost week of the month.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you got weather issues, and you still got enough lead time to get your stuff ready for delivery in March and April. So we actually had a strong production month at 60.5,
yep,
which was up 6 points from December.
It's amazing.
I know. And December is generally a decent production month because you're trying to hit the end of the year goals.
Right, right. You want your CFO wants you to ship everything except the desk that you're sitting at.
Yeah, exactly. I know. You ship the door with it. Let the door go too.
Right.
So I know. So here's my belief on what would be a good February. So maintain that level of new orders. I mean, 56 or better. Production at 58 or better, employment about the same, supply delivery is about the same, raw material inventory is going up to 54, 55, backlog growing to 52, 53, customer inventory is staying about the same, maybe dropping a little bit, prices going back to about 51, 52, new export orders popping up to 53. That, to me, would be a nice month.
Well, I recorded all of your projections. We'll see how you do.
That's it. I think I'm going to write those down, too. That would be a good month, I think. And it probably means, just because of the comments I made around new orders and production, it probably means that it would probably be about a 56, 55.5 month.
I'll take it.
Yeah. That would be
a
good month. So for me, it's not so much the PMI number in February. It's the other supporting numbers, backlog, in particular, prices expanding again, new export orders popping up. To me, those would be really good for the future.
And
fortunately, Tim, Manufacturing Talk Radio is not a live one-off show. It's recorded, and people can come back and listen to it, so they can all go through it and carefully write down your predictions, and it'll be fun to see how close you come, because you know a lot more about this stuff than we do. But thank you for joining us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Yeah, good to be here, guys. Always good to join you.
Take care. Nice talking to you.
All right. Talk to you next month.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, we always look forward to it, Lou. It's such a good report now that we hope all of our listeners download it and dig into it.
I want better numbers. The new orders, the backlog. But I got to do better next month because I know that we affect the national economy. So, okay. That's it. That's a wrap for January. We do have new shows that we've talked to you about on our Manufacturing Talk Radio and WHAM, and we have
We have our new show. Cliff Waldman is doing Manufacturing Matters. If you're not familiar with Cliff, he was the chief economist with the Manufacturers Alliance for Productivity and Innovation. Extremely knowledgeable individual, and he gets some great guests on the show. So come into mfgtalkradio.com and find Cliff Waldman's show, Manufacturing Matters, and listen to that. We've got others that are in development, so we'll be launching those. And really what you're going to begin to see is that Manufacturing Talk Radio is becoming its own channel with lots of information on shows about manufacturing. And Women in Manufacturing is becoming its own channel. So tune in and listen often. We appreciate you being with us today on Manufacturing Talk Radio. Lou, thanks for joining me from the warm climes of New Jersey.
Yeah, it's been pretty chilly here. How's Atlanta?
Well, we're going to go into the 40s today and maybe the 50s. So that whole polar vortex, which everybody says is, oh my gosh, it's climate change. I grew up in this stuff in Madison, Wisconsin. You know, we went to school in 20 below. You just did.
Well, you guys are all pioneers. You know, we're immigrants on the East Coast. No, this morning it warmed up over yesterday, because yesterday it was below zero. Today it was 7, so you know it's much better.
Man, that's shorts weather in Madison, Wisconsin.
I may have to start wearing long sleeved Hawaiian shirts.
Ooh, that'd be a big change.
Yeah, that would be a big. A big mover.
Do they make them?
I've never seen one.
Well,
I've never seen one. What's that?
Maybe it's a market niche for you.
There you go. All right, Tim. Good talking to you as usual, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, and that wraps it up for today on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.